This is a partial recording of a pre-interview session with Mr. John A. Paulson, 615 Circle Drive, Lacey, Washington. It was done with Ruth L. Wett, Tacoma Public Library, and is a tape original. It was also done on December 4th, 1975.
Was there a lot of problems along the Pacific Avenue area? I keep hearing people sort of suggesting that things weren't as good as they could have been in that part of town with the saloons and the gambling and everything. Were there really a lot of problems?
What do you mean, in the early days?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of problems. The saloons, a lot of them never closed. They're open night and day, even Sundays now. Only when they close is on election. And first we had a lot of loggers used to come to Tacoma there on weekends. And of course, a longshoreman and God of sawmill workers. And actually, some of those fellas, especially young fellas, single fellas, they get tanked up and they have fights and they have to straighten out. But when they had they didn't carry knives or guns, or they? So you'd settle their arguments and they'd shake hands and be friends again. So we had, that's about the only trouble we had. Very little crime.
Was there gambling or cards?
There were prostitutes and gamblers and, at first, there was no bootlegs. It was I'm going back to 1901. We had 42 saloons in town. All controlled by one man. He'd find a location that he'd take his friend and pays him business. And he eventually got to be the kingpin of Underwood. But outside of crime, we had very little crime outside of quarrels and fights. And of course, as time went on, things changed. We had racketeers who moved in, especially gamblers. At first, it'd be local, gamble among themselves, and that's why the racketeers came in. And boy, they really took some, that's what they got wise to. And of course, then we'd run them out of town, get out of arresting. There was no head or tail. We had the spoil system then. And the mayor would be elected for a period of 2 years. And of course, then we had the ward system. We had four wards in the school. And the guy with a gift of gab and good talker, he's kind of good. Appointing himself as a ward heater, called. Well, and he, before election, he'd go out and round up a lot of his friends and have them vote for a certain candidate for a mayor. But if he won out, he was sitting pretty, then he'd give the mayor a list of names that he'd won to appoint the policeman. Those police, but they were, especially the patrolmen, they kicked around from pillar to post. And there'd be a new crew every time they changed mayors, except when 84 was elected. He made several changes, but he fired very few of them for the policemen. He kept them on. And that's when things started changing from then on.
Who was it, Val Fawcett?
No, A.V., his father.
A.V. Fawcett, when he was there, he changed up.
He was quite a character. He, He didn't believe in making rough stuff and all this stuff. But there were a lot of brutality on earth. They take the patrol on the beat and he carried a nightstick, which would be about the half the size of a baseball bat. And the way they used them, oh, just the least. Jason, that beat these guys up, it was terrible. But when A.D. Fawson was elected, he put a stop on that too. Though to a certain extent, because a lot of them still beat up a lot of them. Just for no occasion whatsoever, just for an argument. So of course it gets better to worse. When I went on the department, the civil service had been brought in several years prior to that time.
You went in under civil service then?
Well, yeah, we had to, like I said, when I went on, was civil service in effect. And of course, they blanketed in all the war officers. They didn't have to take some sample. They were blanketed in. And got the credit for their time they served. And that's just on their pension. And of course, that made all the difference in the world. The department started functioning then. And we had very good lead men, like sergeants and captains. Except two. They weren't fit to be a street sweeper. But of course, you have to put up with them. And of course, when I went on the department, I'm going to date it on the 1st of November.
1918?
1918, just a few days for the armistice. Well, the first report of God was on the 7th of November that the war was in. Of course, there was a tremendous celebration, and the whole town just went wild. But we had very little trouble. There were a couple of windows broken. The crowds and we'll push one another out. But there was no looting. And of course then things kind of quietened up and then finally until next day we got a report then that it was a false alarm. So then of course when the 11th of November, when the war finally started away. Then we had another celebration. But they were peaceful. Nobody got out of line. Except we had, like I say, these radicals. They wanted the war to keep on. Because they were for Hitler due to the fact that he killed so many Jews. And that was anti- But the majority, of course, they...
Now, wait a minute, you're getting Hitler and the Kaiser mixed up there. Hitler is the one that killed all the Jews. You're talking about World War I.
Oh, yeah, pardon me.
You got in on the action on World War II.
Yeah, Kaiser. Mm-hmm. But even then, they were a lot of people that were for the Kaiser and some here. We had very little trouble. And then, of course, later on, when the World War II ended, we went through the, that's when we went through these wild parties with on the 7th and the 11th. But what few men we had, we kept them under control and very little. Like I say, what the windows are broken and there was no looting, no trouble whatsoever.
When you talk about the work that you did and really how little crime there was when you started on the force, what did the police, was the policeman just to walk the beat just to make sure there wasn't any trouble, or did you get involved in other things with the people in your area?
Well, of course, the patrolmen on the beat, they look after their beats on, of course, they had two men on the city cabin and two men on Broadway. And of course, they had three men, and that is, they had, they shifted every month. They worked day shift this month, and they worked afternoon days, and they changed every month. So they, but their main thing was to arrest drugs. That's about all they did. Of course, we had a pretty good detective division at last. And of course, they handle the outside.
Well, what time did all that drug money come in? You know, the ship from the Orient and that would bring in the hard stuff?
Yeah, that was...
Is that quite a bit later?
Oh, yes, that's in March of 23. They, that's when they, prior to that discharge, they didn't have any way of, no hospital or any facilities or in France. And they had tents where I was there. And no doctors, that is a short of doctors. So they, doctors evidently gave the nurses permission to, when they had too much pain and, why, they'd give them a shot of morphine. It's quite enough. Well, then eventually they sent them out to Fort Lewis and discharged, but didn't give them any treatment. They just put them on the street. And of course, they, pushes, they got this here. In fact, Como was the headquarters for the entire coast as far as narcotics, because there were a lot of foreign ships that used to come in at that time. And the crew would be smuggling narcotics. So I was, we had a captain at that time. Well, the newspapers, our chief, I said, newspapers started by the department. They didn't do anything about the narcotic set up, and these vets were arrested for being addicts. And so finally, this chief, he was a heck of a man. And he had quite a temper. So he called me in one day, and he says, Johnny, he says, well, he had the paper for him. Look here, something had to be done. I'm going to appoint you as head of the narcotics. So they always call him Pop. Ah, Pop, I said, you're talking the wrong guy. So I talked my little time. So then a few days later he called me now. So I still refused. Well, I said, so he wanted to know the reason why. Well, I said, you know, the captain of the ticket. That's working on it. He wanted to cooperate with me. Well, now, wait a minute. He said, I'll settle that. So finally I agreed to take that position. So after we got through, he said, you pick your own crew. He suggested I take 5 men beside myself. No, go on, it's not. Well, okay. So then he says, come on. Went into the captain's office and he says, I want to tell you something. Of course, everybody hated this captain's detective. He was a... He said, I'm going to tell you something, Captain. From now on to further notice, Johnny don't have to take any orders from you. And if he don't want to take orders from me, that's all right. So, Kenny, Yes, yes, look at that boot. It is a water bottle. So then I finally told the chief, I said, heck, I said, you might have to have money to put on the campaign, pick up these bushes. Well, he said, how much do you think you need? Well, I said, at least $10,000. And I just need half enough. Well, he says, I'll see what I need. So I took it off the council, so finally they agreed on giving them the $5,000. So, well, I said, we'll see where that goes. So that $5,000 deposit in the National Bank of Washington, where I could draw, any time I want to draw some money, well, all I have to do is go and see a certain officer, he'd get the money from it. So, that is one place you have to have two people, or informants, rather, I used to call them. So I knew two women that were addicts and prostitutes. So I went and looked, I found one of them neighbor. So I convinced her that I would be after to come over and told her what the deal was. But I said, you keep this, that my own mention of him. So at first she didn't know. Well, finally I talked her in. So then her girlfriend, I asked her, well, she's out. Well, she's not going to arrest her. No. I said, I'm going to give her the same offer and give me. Well, she's in Aberdeen. So I went down there and found her. And in fact, she went with me up to Cohen in their room. And I went up there, Rick and picked up his alligator and I laid out the program. So we decided, and I finally found a house up at 1514 South Fawcett. It happened to be vacant at that time. So I rented that house and put these two girls in there that were supposed to be streetwalkers. And being that they were addicts, they knew the language. And of course, they have a lingo of their own, they're butchers and addicts. So them had dates with different butchers. And, well, I had them go down to Little Broadway and get a clean. And this house is built right to perfection. There was a big, living room or dining room, almost. And then a landlady, or people that owned it, they petitioned off of the bedroom, right off the living room. And they petitioned out to put some of the furniture that they didn't want to keep her use. And they put a padlock on that door. Well, a padlock was on the side of this dining room. So we made arrangements and we went up there and fixed the window. All the houses close by and a lot of brush and trees. So I put myself with, after we got things going, we'd go in that night after dark and go into this room. And of course they have this ordinary curtains hanging inside, but that's in the bedroom time. You could see out, and then of course there's space under the door. You could hear every word the folk in there. So of course we'd have to take our shoes off. And of course I didn't smoke, but my partner didn't. He had quite a time in there to smoke. So then we could, they'd come in and we'd look right in that big light in there and see them pass the things, what they called as a narcotic. And I think it was $3 a bin at that time. There's only a few grams in there. And hear the conversation. So that way you mark down the time of day and what the conversation was. After they left, they had a verse of concept, they did it under the door. So read a mark, a date on there, and the next one come in, and holy Christ, there was this cab driver, he practically broke his head. Well, he must have made a half a dozen trips. Money is going fast. But anyway, I think we wound up around close to 30 pushers. And of course, the money had run out, so we had to stop. And then I got warrants for all these, because we knew all of them, knew their names, and we got the warrants for them. And then this particular night, we put out a raid and got all the detectives available. And I was told the same thing, round them up. We got them all but, I think, three the first night. And, of course, next day, holy God, there was the newspapers. I don't know where they got those big letter headlines. Big raid. And, by God, we got conviction on everyone. Well, there were two colored porters at a Milwaukee's running, and they got from Milwaukee to Chicago. Well, they lay over a day in Chicago and San Tacoma. And they come up, and each one sold a penny to them. But the girls got mixed up. Well, we do too, and I might have shared those. They put it, instead of, I think it was 12:05 p.m. Sure, that instead of that, they had 12:05 a.m. And I never noticed it before the letters go to the lawyer. Well, even before after the grand jury. Then I went over there. The evidence again, because I couldn't depend on much of my partner was an alcoholic. He was drunk at the time. In fact, some days I was in that room alone. So I went over to this evidence and I discovered it. And there's A.M. and P.M. So Lois Mount was a district attorney at that time. So I took it up with him. Well, I got Johnny, he says, I'm afraid we can't go through with it. Well, in the meantime, I've arrested these two brothers. I went to, of course, all the publicity in the papers, I went to Spokane, picked them off the train. And they admitted, right off the kicking themselves. Yeah, I've got a nice home, a nice family. She got a cat, do it, see, like that. They kicked him something. So, anyway, they put up the lad friends there to come in. Well, I guess my work was there. Well, so when I noticed that mistake, I took it up with Lois Mount. No, he says, he says, Judge Cushman was a better judge at the time, and he was very strict. He says, the judge discovers that, he says, boy, oh boy, you're making up for us. So, dismiss the charges against these two color fellows. Well, that's all they can capable of, that a conviction and all the rest of it. Sometimes the jury don't want to be out of it. Well, he was chief deputy U.S. Marshal. And of course, I saved our neck on a lot of cases. Like this man she mentioned, Bruce, he's chief deputy of U.S. Marshal. We'd invite different officers to come in there and see what's done here, what's going on. And even Cleo Teets, he was the chief deputy prosecutor's attorney, invited him in there. And in fact, Wallace Mount. At first, he didn't want to. I was just going down. You can see what actually takes place when you go to court. You don't have to think of it. It's all easy. So we had several of those men come in there where they could see, actually see and hear the conversation. So in one particular case, there's one thing of Cushman, he sat at trial date. That was it. He didn't allow attorneys to postpone them. But the one case showed up why my partner's gone. So that's the night that the fellow named the telephone, P.U. Sunday. Hey, you left your P.U. Looking never, he was betting all the time, looking never hope. That's the first time he's picked up. So that's the only one I use, two simple witnesses. Hey, the jury's out there. Bless the Lord, come back and give it. So we had very good luck on that. And the effect of that, there was all for 2 or 3 years. There was very little narcotics peddled in the court because that news spread all over the country. And so, but of course, later on, I was put on the checking jail, and then, of course, it started picking up again. Of course, right at the best time, I don't think there's very little narcotics peddled in the court. Of course, we take that police we have today, they're really on the tour. But at that time, it was bugging.
Well, nowadays,
they've
got to knock on the door and announce the cops and get a warrant and all that. But you guys can just stake it out and go to court and get a conviction on that. Huh?
Even then, they're doing a good job there now. So, of course, after that, I was put back in the detention division. Well, at first, I got myself along fine, but he had the pit system. He had four detectives there. You see, 75% of the tips come in the department comes either through a telephone call, mail, telegrams, letters. And anything in Hockey County, they can do all these pits. The rest of us, my guy, we just sit there twiddling our thumbs and squirting. So I'd go down the street and visit different fellows, so finally, different fellows gave me tips on the fellows that commit burglary and all this and that. So I'd go up and get a warrant and pick them up. And instead of that, you're supposed to report that to be getting. Henry Dickens, then he turned over to his pet. So that's where I get in bed with him. Oh boy, did he get me that. In fact, one time he put me on the graveyard for 8 straight years. And that was...
8 years you were on graveyard?
On graveyard, you were doggone right. So, I guess I brought that on myself. I got tired of it. I had a set to one of them, and I said, look here, Captain. If you have anything tough and nasty, a dog you can kill that go pick up, give it to me. I said, I'll keep it. So he did. He put me on the ground. Oh, that was, I could sleep in the daytime. Now I can go sleep. And at that time, I could sleep. Oh, it was running. But finally, he overstepped his authority. This fellow was Commissioner of Public Safety. And later, when this term was started, he was appointed Chief Police. And of course, when he was Captain of Police, this Captain of Detective, he used to give him a bad time. So as things went on, he went in and told the captain, he says, you're at the end of you. He says, I want your resignation tonight before I vote you. So Hey, of course, I do. Well, he says, I have, if you want to fight this thing, he says, I have enough on you to send you to war. So I'll take you to me. So finally, a compromise. They let him go on a pension. Oh, I see, he'd been fired. Well, then they pointed another fire in this place. And, but he was a heck of a guy. So from then on, I had to see him. But